the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, I came back from vacation and got the gospel right this week. That's an improvement. You probably know that Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Psalter. You probably know verse 105 pretty well. Right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? We pray this here on Wednesdays in the liturgy for study, before we study the word of God. The church has Psalm 119 coming up, I think it's like three times in between now and the end of July, and so I decided to hit it on the head of it and talk about the poetry here. We were talking about poetry right before worship, in fact, Christopher and Trey and I were. The things that we talk about in the vestry. This is one of the psalms that God's people should especially pray. So if you have your Bible, you may want to open up to Psalm 119, because I'm going to be all over this psalm. And it's, like I said, it's the longest. You know how long it is. You may also know that Psalm 119 is what's called an alphabetic acrostic. Now, I have, at least on one occasion I know of, talked about what an acrostic is in with regard to poetry, and especially with the Psalms, because it's all over the place. So an alphabetic acrostic is, so in the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 letters. Psalm 119 has 22 corresponding sections, right, corresponding to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each of those sections has eight lines. You can read the section that that is appointed for worship today, and you'll notice it is eight verses long. Right? It is following this pattern. So total, that's 176 verses. Now this does not come through. Right? So each of those sections, which corresponds to a letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the first word of each line, of each of those eight verses, begins with that letter, right? All the way through. It's incredibly beautiful, right? And it does not come through very well into English or really any other translation. It's just hard to do that in translating. But what you've essentially got is eight lines that start with A, right? Eight lines that start with B, eight lines, C, right? And on through the whole alphabet, right? It is remarkable in the Hebrew. It is stunning in the Hebrew, right? As if we ever had any doubt that God was a beautiful poet, right? It is a feat that only the eternal word could do to make all of this make sense, right? To carry on with a single theme of the goodness and the beauty of God's holy law, and to figure out so many ways, such clever ways and resonant ways to restate that, right, in divine harmony and order. It's incredible. But to really get to the heart of the psalm, I think we have to ask the question, why? Right? Why would God go through the trouble of composing this psalm in such a poetic, well-ordered way? Right? What's he relating to us when he does it this way? The reason is that the goodness of God's law is order and symmetry. Right? Just like creation, right? It's order and symmetry. Right? When a person is obeying God's word, right? When he orders his life to God's word, then it is actually a lamp unto his feet, a light unto his path. And everything in life is perfect and balanced and well-ordered and right. Obedience to God's law is the opposite of chaos, right? Which sin causes and brings into our life. So just the form of the psalm itself is telling us this. Right? Just the way it's constructed is witnessing to this truth. God's word is not just a bunch of rules to be followed for a good life. It's not just this kind of checklist for living. God's word, beloved, is where Christ promises to be. He has chosen to speak to us by his word. He gives life through his word. As he breathes it out, he breathes life into you. Secondly, the law is a description of what we are meant for. I think maybe that escapes us today. But it's actually also a description of who Jesus is and what we're meant for in him, who we are becoming in Christ as the good work that's been begun in us is brought to completion. The law is beautiful, and it causes the psalmist to cry out in verse 131 that he longs for the commandments of God. And he longs for the law, longs for God's commandments, desires them. And so don't make the mistake that so many people make of looking at God's law as just kind of this restrictive thing or this thing that's placed upon us that's burdensome that we just have to carry around and deal with. Look at it as God's revealed will to you, for you. Because that's what it is. So it's not then offense to keep us in. What is it? It's offense to keep Satan and the demons out. And to create a home for the people of God. The law tells us who our God and our Father is. And it tells us who we are in him. They give a focus. They give an order to life. A freedom from moral dilemma and uncertainty, from chaos and selfishness that's everywhere in the world right now. All you have to do is look around. The law of God creates and gives a well-ordered world that's in conformity with God's good and gracious will. That's why when every single government that has ever existed transgresses God's word, moves away from God's word, ignores God's word, there is never peace, because there never can be. And this is why David can sing in verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Because running in the way of the commandments, that's not legalism. It's freedom. It's running as you were created and meant to run by God himself. It's being what God intends and created us to be. Right? It's riding the wave in instead of fighting wave after wave and trying to muscle past the surf. Now, all of this leads us to this strange prayer that starts the psalm. It's verse 1 if you have your Bibles. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart.